Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, good morning, Canada, and welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Rod's away in Mexico, so it's me and it's you, and let's have a chat. We got hour two on the way, the Rod Peterson Show this morning. Big thanks to Rich Sutter for joining us from Lethbridge in hour one. Big thanks as well to Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, for sitting in the big chair next to me here in hour two. And our comment of the day goes to Alan Lee. We're going to ring the bell one more time, because if you missed hour one, Rich Sutter was on the program in Lethbridge, and man, we had some fun. We talked about the David Ayres situation, the emergency backup goaltender who came into the game on Saturday night and led the Carolina Hurricanes to a 6-3 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was a whole lot of fun, but he had his grandson in the room, and the grandson, his daughter's son, is starting to cry. And he's crying for Papa to come back and play. And so Alan chimes in. He's like, "It sounds like a Leaf fan. Sounds like we got Leaf fans in the room." So there you go. Brett Upton on the Facebook feed. Dennis Lemieux says, "Trade me right effing now." So pulling out the slapshot lines this morning, as that was a text that came in last hour. And we'll play it again for you here from unnamed texter on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777, says this guy could play goal, the next emergency backup goaltender, and that's Denny Lemieux from the famous movie Slapshot. So we got your questions and comments on the Prairie Mobile text line. We'll get to those throughout the show. We'll also take your comments on the Facebook feed. So if you've got questions, if you got an area you want to go to, let us know here on the Facebook feed. Jason chimes in and says, "Thanks for letting me know. I can go back and watch it later." So going back through all of the comments, Jason asks, "Is this really Rod's yellow Jeep in that ad?" Yes, that's actually the Jeep. We filmed that promo and the cartoon. It's all his yellow Jeep, and John Lynch rides in it all summer long. They're getting excited. Only a couple of more weeks, a few more weeks till springtime, and hopefully they can bring out the Jeep soon. Wayne Grollo is watching in Victoria, BC. Says, "I'm still here in beautiful Victoria." Good morning, Wayne. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Donna Berger is watching. Says, "The Scotties games were on fire. Back and forth. And sometimes the 11th end. Great job to all the volunteers." Yeah, it was awesome. And that Scotties final was really awesome, too. We were sitting there watching that on the couch. And Einarsson is up 7-3. And we know Rachel Holman's a big fan of ours. We're a big fan of Rachel's, and she's a friend of the show. Rod was out there with her speaking at the dinner circuit across Saskatchewan. I think it was Arcola was the spot that he spoke with Rachel Holman, and she's been on this program too, but she's getting her butt kicked, you know, in that final, not curling very well, but we know Rachel, and you know it's not over. And so all of a sudden she scores two in the, I believe it was the ninth, and then she scores two more in the 10th, as Kari Einarsson missed her draw, and then it's going to the 11th, and you're thinking, oh no, like she's lost the confidence, and here comes Rachel Holman. But man, the skip from Manitoba made a great draw right to the button on the final shot of the 11th end. So good. The Scotties was awesome. Randy Nichols watching this morning says, "Who you got, Dupes, Bucks or Raptors?" I'm going with the Raptors. There is not a team in the NBA right now that can compete top to bottom throughout a roster, can outcoach the Raptors, or could play with them through seven games. One-off? Yeah, I could see it. The Bucks are very good, and this is a great opportunity to get that rivalry going again in the NBA. But if I'm the Raptors right now, no. I'm not. I'm taking the Raptors all day long. So, and because they're Canada's team. But Dustin Nielsen is logged in, Clark. He's logged in and ready to go. So let's go out to Edmonton now and join Dustin Nielsen from TSN Radio in Edmonton, where the party's on. Where's the confetti, Dustin? I know you're a happy guy this morning. Your Oilers made some moves yesterday.
I have a bag of it over here. We're going to throw it all around. Like Ken Holland could go take a Can I say this? He could go take a piss on the Gretzky statue right now, and nobody would say a thing. Like, the guy's an absolute legend after yesterday. And, you know, for being here for 10 years and every single year, all we do is, for my show, all we ever did was talk about, you know, will they sell anybody? Will they sell anybody? The one year they brought in Jarrett Smithson as, like, a deadline day ad. And then when they made the playoffs in 2017, they added David Desharnais, and he actually worked out okay. So yesterday, you saw Sunday night, they pulled the trigger on the green trade, and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, you know, get some depth on the blue line. Let's see what they can add. I went into yesterday morning thinking that Tyler Ennis might be the guy that they're looking at and maybe nothing else. And then all of a sudden, Athanasiou's trade comes out of nowhere, even though obviously he'd been linked to Ken Holland a little bit. But I mean, it was, in my opinion, it was a perfect day for Ken Holland yesterday, Dupes. It was an incredible job.
Yeah, I mean, easily in my mind, and I'm sure yours too, the winners of the free agents, free agents from trade deadline day, and in our Capital Automall Universal Collision Center poll question, we asked who was the winner of the deadline day, the Oilers, the Golden Knights, the Hurricanes, or somebody else, and 45% of the vote, clearly the Oilers winning the trade deadline day. You look at who they brought in, Andreas Athanasiou. 30-goal guy last year, and he's playing in a tough spot. Tyler Ennis, he's scored 20 a couple of times, three times in his career. So you get some of that depth scoring, but and Mike Green on the back end. But too often, we get romantic about players, right? We get romantic about, okay, Athanasiou, that great year last year, and he can skate as fast as Connor McDavid, and he's going to slot in and score 30 goals, and he's going to bring in that depth scoring. And Tyler Ennis is going to come back and be a 20-goal scorer, and Mike Green's going to be the power play quarterback and the offensive guy he was, you know, years ago. Are we overhyping this a little bit too much, or can these guys actually come in and play well?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but I mean, you look at what Connor McDavid's been playing with on the wings right now. I mean, he came back to the lineup and had Sam Gagne and Alex Chiasson on his wings. So with James Neal being out and Cassian still being suspended, maybe Athanasiou doesn't work. But the best part about all of this, and I think this makes sense, and I think this is why Oilers fans are even more happy than just the fact that they were buyers this year, is that even if this doesn't work out and they miss the playoffs. I mean, you gave up a fourth and a fifth, and then the 2 seconds you gave up to get Athanasiou, you still have him. He's an RFA at the end of the year, so he's going to be sticking around. So it was described to me today as, an all-in move for this year, but at the same time, keeping back your bigger chips, because Ken Holland addressed three needs, and how many people can say they've ever done that on a deadline day without giving up a prospect and without giving up a first-round pick? So, I mean, the fact that he didn't have to part with any of the things that people were like, ooh, if he's going to get a top six winger, he's going to have to move Broberg or Bouchard or a first-round pick. And Holland proved to everybody that he didn't have to do that. So, I mean, maybe it works out. Even if it doesn't work out, I mean, you could see Athanasiou, play with Sheahan and Josh Archibald on the third line just to bring some more speed to that line as well. And we were talking about in our show today, you might see Tyler Ennis and Athanasiou on McDavid's line tonight, because there's really not much else going on there right now. So, I don't think anybody's planning for the Stanley Cup. I mean, some people might want to joke about it, but I do think what they have done here is put themselves in a really good spot to finish first, second, or third in the division. Vegas might be tough. They play them three times the rest of the way, including this Wednesday. So, I think what they've done here is gone pretty close to securing a playoff spot.
The Oilers are in Anaheim tonight getting set to play the Ducks. Athanasiou, he's just 25 years old, too, so he's a young player who can come in and hopefully make something happen. But you look at, Vegas making some moves in the back end, shoring up the goaltending situation with their duo, Vancouver making most of their work happen and most of their moves before the deadline, and Calgary really not doing a whole lot, making just a couple of moves for a couple of defensemen, including Gustafson out of Chicago. Where do you see this tight Pacific playing out right now? Vegas is on fire right now. They've got things figured out. Vancouver's playing pretty well, but they're just 500 in their last 10 games. Calgary, has gone up and down, hot and cold. How do you see this playing out? Because it's so tight.
Yeah,
right
I mean,
now.
I look at it. I think the pickup that Vegas made yesterday that was one of the biggest was Robin Leonard. Bringing in Leonard yesterday, I mean, when you look at Marc-Andre Fleury, when Fleury, since they brought Fleury in, I mean, we can all joke about the Golden Knights brought it all together. Let's be honest. They had a goaltender who's won multiple Stanley Cups. He's an absolute stud, but he's been through some personal stuff this year, and his game hasn't been where it needs to be. And Subban was not, even close to being capable of a backup. So they go out and get Robin Lehner, you know, a guy who obviously had an excellent season last year, is having a good season again in Chicago this year. I thought the only weak link for the Golden Knights, I love their forward group. You know, they made some really good pickups there. Stone, Pacioretty, these guys are studs. But I was worried about their blue line and worried about their goaltending, and they've addressed both of those things in the last week. So the Golden Knights don't mess around. So I see it as the Golden Knights division to lose. I would slot Edmonton in as the number two team right now after their additions. I would have had Vancouver locked in at number three if it wasn't for this Markstrom injury news. I think that opens the door here a little bit. Calgary, I think, will be a playoff team. I think Arizona. Now, Darcy Kuemper could come back and go on a heck of a run, and he's a great goalie, but it might take him a little while to get up to speed. So if I was Arizona, I'd be very worried about Nashville, who has four games in hand on him, and then obviously Winnipeg I like as a playoff team as well. So I would put Vegas right at the top. I'd have the Oilers a little bit below them, and then a healthy Canucks team I'd have just below the Oilers.
You know, Arizona is interesting. If Darcy Kuemper comes back, only Carolina has allowed fewer goals against than Arizona. I'm always scared of a team that's got good defense and goaltending when it comes to playoff time, when it's tough to score. But when you look at the Oilers' season right now, we're all excited about the Oilers' trade deadline day and Ken Holland's job that he did. And you mentioned how excited you are. What has to happen now from here on in for you to, you know, be on your show at the end of the year and say, this year was a success?
Boy, man, as long as I make the playoffs, I think this year's a success. When you look back at what everybody expected, when Ken Holland took over, you know, he said, my goal this year would be to make the playoffs. And they certainly look like a playoff team. They look like a team that could possibly win at least a round and maybe give Vegas a run in the second round here. So, I mean, outside of completely blowing it and missing the playoffs at this point, I think this year will be looked at as a success. I mean, Holland, since he came in here, has managed to move Lucic, which we didn't think was possible. Not only did he move Lucic, he moved him for a guy who's going to get 20 this year, which is that's an unbelievable flip. And then he's gone out, some of these guys he brought in, Shahan and Archibald, they're part of the best penalty kill, were one of the top three penalty kills in the entire National Hockey League. And these are guys he picked up, you know, for $1 million or less. So he's already done a really good job turning this thing around. And then, like I said, maintaining some of those other assets. So, I mean, you know what would be disappointing? If they get to the first round of the playoffs, play Calgary and get swept, I think people would probably lose their mind and be disappointed with the year. But outside of that, it's almost all house money here the rest of the way this season.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, that's great. I mean, yeah, outside of losing to Calgary, that wouldn't be fun. We know that for sure. The Winnipeg Jets, I want to ask you about them for a second because they're 1 point out of a playoff spot right now. Didn't do a whole lot. A couple of small moves. Cody Eakin among them coming in before the deadline. But we find out Dustin Byfuglien, he's not going to play any hockey this year, so they're not able to move him and really add anything to help their playoff push. They're kind of in limbo right now. Where do you see the Jets, you know, as we sit here a day after the deadline?
And this basically will come down, not like it's undifferent for some other teams, but this will basically come down to Connor Hellebuyck. You know, I know they tried to address things on the blue line. Apparently they would have liked to have added another defenseman as well. But if Connor Hellebuyck can play, you know, very good to great the rest of the way, then the Winnipeg Jets, not only will they make the playoffs, I think they'll be a tough team to get out in the postseason as well, because as sketchy as their blue line has been at time, Hellebuck's an excellent goaltender when he's on. And then up front, of all the forward groups, and I know the others have McDavid and Drysdale, Yamamoto, and that's going very well right now. But Wheeler, Shifley, Connor, Laine, Ehlers, that is an elite top six. So I think that would be a tough group to slow down in the postseason. So I still like Winnipeg. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I know Nashville's kind of knocking on the door, and that's really it. I mean, I guess Minnesota is still sort of hanging around, but it basically is going to come down to Nashville, Arizona, Winnipeg, and Calgary. And I think the Jets, I buy into that top five guys they have up front, maybe a little bit more than I should, but I think those guys alone, as long as they get, you know, acceptable goaltending, I should be able to push Winnipeg into the postseason.
I've lost two in a row, but they can get back on track in a hurry. Okay, I want to ask you about the greatest goaltending performance over the weekend, and it's not the emergency backup goaltender. It's not. It's Ryland Toth in UBC. I mean, just looking at his playoff numbers, he stopped 220 shots for UBC in the playoffs so far. It's incredible. We were listening to your call of Game 3. How cool was that? Because it was a 2-1 game win for UBC. That save he made, what was it, 2.5 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go in the hockey game? How cool was that to be a part of?
It was a phenomenal experience. And obviously, you know, being a homer for the Golden Bears, you get to a point in that game when you realize that, hey, wait a second, I'm calling something here that's pretty special, because UBC, I mean, a phenomenal upset for them. And he stops 51 of 53 and goes to overtime and gets the win on Friday. And I thought at that point, I was just like, that's an amazing performance. In fact, his backup, Patty Day, texted my color guy because he covered him with the Oil Kings. And he's like, that was the best goaltending performance I've ever seen live. And then he texted again on Sunday and was just like, actually, that was the best goaltending performance I've ever seen live. So, I mean, he was phenomenal. He made a save 8 seconds into the game. The Bears won the faceoff, got it back to the blue line, sent two guys in on basically a 2-on-1 that kind of turned into a 2-on-0, and he made a similar sort of save 8 seconds in where he dove across and made a sensational save, and then that save he made late in the third period. I mean, they got pumped on Saturday night 6-1, and it was a smart move. They pulled him after 40 because they knew it was over, got him some rest. But in the two games that he won on Friday and Saturday, they were outshot 94-36, and he stood on his head. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget Ryland Tolt's name and what he accomplished on both the Friday and the Sunday. It was sensational. Absolutely sensational.
Yeah, unbelievable. First time in 42 years that UBC is going to Nationals. I mean, I know it's been a two-team conference for a long time with Alberta and Saskatchewan, and that would have been another great final. That's always great when they get together, but this is good for the game, isn't it? Because U Sports Hockey, and we've said this, you and I have been big proponents of U Sports Hockey, it's so good. Outside of the NHL, it really is the best hockey in the country, but it just doesn't get the love it deserves. Will this help?
It's great hockey. I mean, maybe this helps, but at the same time, you're right. We've had two powerhouses, great rivalry in the Huskies and the Golden Bears going head to head for years. And it really doesn't create that much of a buzz because it's tough for people to watch it, right? Unless you track it down online. And we had a 4-camera shoot in game 4 on game 3 on Sunday. It was excellent broadcast put together by our crew, and it was only online. So it would be great if you could start to get this. And by all accounts, from what I hear, you know, it's going to be streaming live through CBC for the national championship, which just isn't enough. I mean, you know, sports has had it for a long time. I wish our company at TSN could have moved forward with that. That would have been great tournament to cover there. This will probably, I mean, this helps the buzz. This will be a great story. Ryland Tolt taking UBC to Nationals is going to be a great story for people who are at Nationals. But I mean, who's kidding who? Very likely it'll be the Huskies and Golden Bears back in the final. I think one of those two teams have won every year since 95, which is absolutely insane to think. I mean, both of those teams have been absolutely incredible. So it's an absolutely tremendous product. That's why I've been doing the games for 10 years, because I'm just a fan of the hockey. It's excellent hockey. A lot more of these guys should get opportunity to go on and play, you know, in the American Hockey League and pro overseas. And the Golden Bears graduate a lot of these guys, but a lot of these other teams have a lot of these guys who could go and play as well. So it's under scouted, it's undercovered, and it is a shame, because I mean, if anybody out there has a chance to go watch, you know, the Huskies and when they come down to take on Regina, and elite programs, absolutely elite programs with guys who are going to go on and play pro.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's not going to move the needle, unfortunately, until we start getting a little bit more of the coverage. And okay, we'll get your thoughts on David Ayres, the emergency backup goaltender. you do the goal songs. Did you have a song for David Ayres on your show?
No, I did not. But you know what? I love it. I don't see how anybody could be critical. And I know some people over the last couple of days in the hockey world have been saying, you know, you got to have a better goaltender in that situation. But I mean, why is this an issue at all? The dude won. I mean, who cares if he's 42 or 32? He won the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he did not allow a lineup that has, like, they're paying $26 million to three guys not score on him in the third period. So it's a phenomenal story. It's great for the National Hockey League. I mean, a lot, actually, Ryland Toth of the UBC, he's on the rotation to be the e-bug guy, the emergency goalie in Vancouver. Kenny Cameron, who's a part of the Bears, the emergency goalie here with the Oilers for the last couple of years. So a lot of these teams, at least the ones out west that I know, have these university guys that are there. But it's a 42-year-old Zamboni driver who was wearing Leafs gear underneath this Hurricanes thing, and he beat him. And now he's literally everywhere. It's awesome. It's an amazing story. So, I mean, congratulations to him. It's literally, this is the definition of a once-in-a-lifetime moment. This is not going to happen again for David Ayres, so he should milk it up as long as he can. And I do not have an issue with them not having, you know, higher qualified goaltenders. They're good to go. He beat the Leafs, and it was phenomenal.
And everybody outside of Toronto, and really everybody outside of Leafs Nation, this is their hero, right? Because the Leafs generate a ton of hate, right? So it's
I think he got a day in Raleigh named after him. It's like, you know, it's official day for David Ayers Day. Like, it's amazing. It's great.
Yeah, how cool is that? Dusty, appreciate the update, my man, and be well.
Hey, Dupes, before you let me go, I got to say, I'm on the Bucks tonight. I like
you
the Bucks.
Are? Okay.
I think the Bucks are going to win tonight. No, I love everything you said about the Raptors, but I'm a big NBA guy, too. Bucks are a phenomenal team, so
they
that's going to be a tough out.
Well, it's going to be fun. It would be great to see them in a playoff series.
Oh, yeah, I think we will, too. I know there's some other teams in the East that could cause some issues, but Bucks-Raptors, defending champs against the best team in the league, I think that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Appreciate this, Dusty. All the best.
Okay. Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, Dustin Nielsen joining us from TSN Radio in Edmonton. Yes, he's got the Bucks. Alan's a big basketball guy. Clark, tell me who's Alan got tonight? Bucks or Raptors? He's got the Raptors. Of course he does. We got the Raptors here today. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more. James Cebulski is coming up. We're going to go out to Vancouver. We're going to talk about their goaltending situation, trade deadline, where the Canucks are fitting in right now when it comes to the NHL playoff race. All that and more coming up on the program. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show on the air. Darren DuPont in this week for Rod Peterson, but that's all right. We'll do our best to hang out, just me and you guys, for a little while this morning. So warm up your coffee and get ready to go this morning. Big thanks to Dustin Nielsen for joining me earlier on this hour, getting us caught up on all things Flames. He made the comment when it comes to Ken Holland that he could go out and urinate on the Wayne Gretzky statue and nobody would care because he's killed it on trade deadline day, and Oilers fans are really happy right now. They picked up Andreas Anastasiou from Detroit. He is fresh off a 30-goal season last year, just 25 years old. Also acquired Tyler Ennis from Edmonton, or from Ottawa for a couple of picks. So a fifth-round pick for Ennis, 2 second-round picks, and Sam Gagner for Anastasiou going the other way. And earlier, the night before, picked up Mike Green in exchange for Kyle Brodziak and a conditional fourth-round pick. Mike Green now 34 years old. So veteran leadership on the back end and some offensive upside. You get one of the faster players in the game to play along Connor McDavid in Athanasiou. I like that. He is the Green Jacket leader right now, the Masters leader. And what do I mean by that? He's a minus 45 on the season. He's got the worst plus minus in the NHL right now. They call that the leader for the Green Jacket, you know, like the Masters in golf. He's a minus 45, but he's playing on a bad team. So we'll see what happens when he gets into Edmonton and where he slots in. The Oilers are in Anaheim tonight. Elsewhere in the NHL, St. Louis is home to Chicago. New Jersey's in Detroit. Dallas is in Carolina, where Carolina will host David Arras and Sarah Arras, his wife, and celebrate him. That's going to be a wild atmosphere. Washington is home to Winnipeg tonight, the Winnipeg Jets. They've fresh off a couple of losses, and they're sitting 1 point out of the playoffs right now, so they need a big win tonight. San Jose's in Philadelphia. The Rangers are on Long Island. Toronto is in Tampa Bay tonight, and Calgary in Boston, and Vancouver is in Montreal, and that's where we will go in a minute to James Cebulski, who is in Vancouver, TSN or Sportsnet Radio, sorry, in Vancouver. We'll talk about the Vancouver Canucks, who had made their moves prior to the deadline, but they've got some goaltending issues right now, as their goaltender Jacob Markstrom is set to be out for a couple of weeks. So the crease becomes Thatcher Demko's, really, for Vancouver. We'll talk about that as we go out to Vancouver now and join James Cebulski on the West Coast. How are you doing, James?
How good do I look?
Like, you look honestly amazing.
I know. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing right now? Are you okay with what's going on right now in Vancouver?
You know, the first thing when the news came down about Jacob Markstrom yesterday, a good friend of mine sent me a text right away and said, Canuck luck. Canuck luck strikes again.
Yep.
And for a team that has had a notorious history of injury issues over the years, and you look at the numbers over the last decade, they kind of they back those trends up. Things had been going really well from an injury standpoint, at least for the most part this year, where they had stayed relatively healthy, and at least the bodies that had gone down, the top end guys had stayed healthy. And so when the trickle effect started a couple of weeks ago with Brock Besser going down, you know, Josh Levo had been out of the lineup for the last couple of months as it is, but, you know, Michael Ferland, word came down over the last little bit that he wasn't going to play again this year with all the concussion issues that he has had to endure since signing on as a Vancouver Canuck. You know, there's three of your top nine forwards from the mix that are kind of sidelined right now. But then Jacob Markstrom, who has been this team's MVP. You know, the interesting thing is here, and on my show this morning, we did a poll question asking fans if you believe in Thatcher Demko, who's been the backup all season. You know, do you believe in this guy getting the Canucks in the playoffs? He was tabbed as the goalie of the future. 86% of respondents, 86% gave a thumbs up to Thatcher Demko. I just don't see it with the numbers, and he could certainly change the landscape because of how fascinating things are with the Canucks' salary cap situation, with their goaltending situation, because of the fact that Jacob Markstrom is a pending unrestricted free agent. Man, this has a story to either get Thatcher Demko a statue here in this city to where the Canucks suddenly have all the leverage in the negotiation with Markstrom, or it could, in a big way, get Jacob Markstrom paid this summer big time.
Yeah, 10-6-2, I believe, on the season, a .905 save percentage for Thatcher Demko, who went the NCAA route. But yeah, it's tough. What's the diagnosis? Has the MRI happened yet? Is it? Do we know
Wednesday.
The timeline yet?
Wednesday is the MRI. What the organization is saying right now is it looks like it's 3 to 4 weeks. They're bracing for a month. And if that's the case, if you're basing it on 4 weeks from yesterday, you're looking at a 15-game window that Thatcher Demko is going to have to be the guy. Now, I guess if there's any sort of encouraging sign in this, it's that the Canucks had time to react to this. Late yesterday afternoon, before the trade deadline, they were in Montreal and realized that something wasn't right with Markstrom. He was going to miss time, and they were able to make a move at the deadline to pick up veteran goaltender Louis Domingue. Now, Domingue has kind of kicked around the league over the last few years. He's got stops with the Coyotes, he's got stops with the Lightning, and he's got stops most recently with the New Jersey Devils. But here's a guy at 27 who's got almost 140 career NHL games under his belt. They wanted to make the move for a guy like Louis Domingue because they don't want Thatcher Demko to be looking over his shoulder. They want to give Thatcher Demko a chance to legitimately be the guy here.
Yeah, why not, right? I mean, it's all about managing personalities, managing those expectations. You want him in the best spot to have success. What else was Jim Benning close to? What else? Was there anything that was close yesterday?
Well, I mean, Jim Benning wasn't going to tip his hand too much in terms of what he was going to do. Well, and particularly so considering the man was fined $50,000 4 years ago for talking about players under contract with other teams. But there had been a lot of speculation that the Canucks were linked closely to Tyson Barrie with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And there was a lot of talk with the Canucks and Tyson Barrie going back to last summer. And a lot of people thought that maybe there could be a draft day trade involving Tyson Barrie with the Colorado Avalanche at the time and the Vancouver Canucks. Didn't go down. The Canucks went in a different direction. They picked up JT Miller, and that has worked out brilliantly for the Canucks, that giving up a first-round pick has been an absolute steal for the value that JT Miller has turned out to be, a very manageable cap hit at $5.5 million, and JT Miller right now leading the team in scoring. He has been that good right now for the Vancouver Canucks this season. But the Tyson Barrie one has been something that, and he has been someone that the organization has long coveted. Obviously, the asking price for the Toronto Maple Leafs was just simply too rich for the Canucks' blood, and I just don't think they had the assets to be able to make that work. And, you know, do they even have the dollars to make it work in the summer if he becomes an unrestricted free agent? I think most people would look at the Canucks salary cap situation and say they don't have the money to make it work. Another name that was linked to the Canucks was a guy named Wayne Simmonds, a veteran tough guy who played for years with the Flyers and ultimately with Nashville last year and then this season with the New Jersey Devils. He goes to Buffalo. But the Canucks, he only went for a conditional fifth rounder. I think the Canucks were more interested in maybe swapping a body for a body potentially there, but it ultimately didn't work for the Devils and for the Canucks. And so Wayne Simmonds is now a member of the Sabres, and the Canucks kind of stand pat from that standpoint.
When it comes to Canucks fans, James Cebulski joining us from Sportsnet Radio in Vancouver this morning. When it comes to Canucks fans, there can't be too many things that feel better than a 9-3 win on a Saturday night over Boston. As much as the Canucks hate the Bruins, that snapped a mini two-game slide. But you're 1 point back of Edmonton now. You've got a game in hand. You've got a few games in hand on Vegas as you try and, you know, climb back up into the top of the Pacific Division standings. The end of this road trip, these are two pretty big games coming up. I know there's four left in the road trip, but Montreal tonight, Ottawa on Thursday, these are two big games to make up some ground.
Yeah, and if there was ever a time to really try to roll through the East right now, this would be it, wouldn't you think? I mean, Montreal stripping down, and they still got some players on their team with Carey Price and Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie and, you know, Max Domi, if he can find his groove again, but the Habs obviously selling off Nate Thompson and Ilya Kovalchuk over the last couple of days. The Senators, I mean, they're just going with spare parts out on the ice beyond just Brady Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot. There's not much else there right now on that roster as they kind of look to the future. It is a good week for the Canucks to try to catch some of these teams. I mean, the Leafs on Saturday, I mean, there's a team that's reeling right now, given the week that they just endured, losing to an emergency backup goaltender who is now a household name across the country in David Ayers. But you look at this trip, this is a road trip for the Canucks right now, a four-gamer that is a palatable one if there ever was. Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, and then you got Columbus, who just snapped a six-game losing streak last night against the Senators. So they're winnable games. It's a manageable Eastern swing. They might be catching a lot of these teams at the right time, but they ultimately have to take care of business. And you're right. I mean, to win a game like they did against Boston, and in fairness to the Bruins, they had lost three. They had played three and four nights, and that was the third game in four nights. They were tired, but for a win against the Bruins in this market, it means so much. There is still the stink and the stain and the pain from that 2011 heartbreaking cup final loss to Boston, that it took this franchise, it took this city years to recover and still hasn't completely recovered just yet. So a nice little pushback by the Canucks and an emphatic win, and one that they really needed. They had won just two games in their prior eight going into that game on Saturday. I think everybody breathing a little easier. You've also got Tyler Toffoli all of a sudden clicking as a new member of the Canucks, right? He picks up a three-point night in that victory, and suddenly in the first two games as the Vancouver Canuck, Tyler Toffoli has fit in very well with Pettersson and Miller, having potted 4 points in his first two games.
Yeah, that was my next question, was just to ask you about Tyler Toffoli, because it seems like you know, he's fit in really nicely, and that's turned out to be a real nice move for the Canucks.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny, because a week ago, this market was outraged, absolutely outraged over the price that they had to give up. It was what? You gave up a second-round pick and Tyler Madden, and the way that people talked about Tyler Madden, you would think that he was the next... You know, he was a future Hall of Fame player. And you know what? Tyler Madden might turn out to be a solid player in the National Hockey League. But obviously, the Canucks felt that they were able to part ways with Tyler Madden in terms of where they viewed him in their hierarchy, in terms of their top prospects. But I'll tell you what, when you look at the prices that people paid for deadline rentals, I think to land a guy who's shown that he can score 30 in the past in the National Hockey League, a guy who's won a Stanley Cup and he's only 27, I think they made out quite well giving up just a second-round pick and a prospect to land Tyler Toffoli for the stretch run here with Brock Besser gone, what is expected to be the end of the regular season, although Jim Benning suggested that Brock Besser might be back before the end of the year, which suddenly, if you get Besser and Toffoli in the fold, that's a good-looking top six when you look at Bo Horvat, Tanner Pearson, and Brock Besser, and then you've got Toffoli, Miller, and Pettersson. Suddenly, that's a much more formidable top six that the Canucks are throwing at you compared to what they had with that glaring hole prior to the deal made for Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, a lot of people are pretty happy in Vancouver when it comes to the Canucks and excited for them to get into the playoffs. All right, what's next for you when it comes to the EA Sports circuit, James? And, I mean, it's been quite the celebrity tour you're on with that and Snoop Dogg. You got everything going on.
Yeah, that was Snoop was fun. We went down to Los Angeles to record 2 days in, at his studios in L.A. And I would just say for everybody watching and listening right now, Snoop is pretty much everything you would expect and beyond. He's a massive sports fan. So it was a lot of talk about, it was during the time of the NBA Finals too, between the Warriors and the Raptors. So it was a nice spirited discussion as he had a whole lot of Cali love. And, you know, we were repping the Maple Leaf here in California at the time. But yeah, it's back in the studio a couple days a week, and a lot of surprises in store for gamers and people that are loyal players of the NHL franchise from EA Sports. I'll just say this, and I've said this in a couple of interviews in the past, but as somebody who played the game, that had the opportunity to play NHL 94, NHL 95, and various iterations, whether it was NHL 98 or now, NHL 2002 or NHL 2006 or 2015, whichever one over the years, you know, before I became a broadcaster or a voice for the game, I was a fan. I was a gamer of the game. And so the one priority for me was to try to treat it with the most respect possible and have some fun with it. And I think we've tried to do that alongside Ray Ferraro and the rest of the EA broadcast team. They are the man. You've got some really passionate, driven people behind the scenes that want everybody to enjoy the gaming experience as much as possible. And it's pretty cool, man, to be in a video game. I was like, what? I'm in a freaking video game. I mean,
no
cool
kidding.
Is that?
No kidding. New career goals now. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Now it's been fun.
Only get into Grand Theft Auto.
See, that would be great, right? That would be awesome. Because then you can let loose.
I'd be the guy to get carjacked.
Yeah, exactly. You don't exactly need to stay within the boundaries of language, probably, in that sense. That would be cool.
No, probably not.
No. Well, keep up the great work. It's been fun following your career, and the West Coast looks good on you, James.
Thanks, man. Yeah, the sun finally came out for the first time in about 3 months, so I think I finally worked on a tan there in the last week. So.
Good.
There you
good
go.
To see you.
Nice
thanks for
catch
catching
up.
With you. You bet. James Cebulski joining us from the West Coast, Sportsnet Radio in Vancouver. And that was lots of fun. Yes, the voice on EA Sports, NHL franchise. Very cool to catch up with James this morning. All right, let's take a break. A couple of more segments left this morning on the program. We'll take your comments and thoughts on the Facebook feed and the Prairie Mobile text line at 306-840-8777. And we'll be right back. The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to Rod Peterson Show on the air. Thanks to James Cebulski from Sportsnet Radio in Vancouver joining us. Clark, we got one more break, don't we? I thought we had one more break. Yeah, we do. All right, so this is not the overtime segment. We got that coming up in just a second. Our show powered by Caliber Coffee here with the coffee this morning. A great blend. I think it's the Sumatra this morning that we're having from Caliber. Lots to get to this morning. The Prairie Mobile text line is open. We got some thoughts and comments there. We've got, let's pull up the Prairie Mobile text line. 306-840-8777, Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Janice in the text line says, Edmonton clearly won the trade deadline. I would agree with that, Janice, that Edmonton won the trade deadline day for sure. I mean, what they did to increase their group with Andreas Athanasiou coming in, the 25-year-old speedster who many are saying can play along alongside Connor McDavid and keep up with him, that's going to be interesting to watch. Now, can he get back to his 30-goal pace he was on last year? I'm not sure. We often get way too romantic about players' pasts, and we expect that to continue and be the expectation for the future. And that's not always the case. He's had one 30-goal year. Now, he's only 25, but he's had one 30-goal year. It's unrealistic to expect this guy to come into Edmonton and be a 30-goal scorer. It's unrealistic. Now, can he get there with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Kaylor Yamamoto? Yeah, possibly. Got good players playing around you. He doesn't have that where he was earlier in the season, but that shouldn't be the expectation. It is an upgrade. It is some depth scoring. It is some speed. You really like that. Tyler Ennis comes in from Ottawa in exchange for a fifth-round pick. He's a three-time 20-goal scorer, but that's a long time ago. He's 30 years old now. It's unrealistic to expect him to be a consistent 20-goal scorer, but here's a guy who adds some offensive touch, can add some scoring to your bottom six forwards, and potentially playing with a, you know, in a different situation in a team that's contending could re-energize you, and you might come out and see Tyler Ennis play well. And Mike Green, 34-year-old defenseman coming in from Detroit in exchange for Kyle Brodziak and a conditional fourth-round draft pick. I like that move again. But again, Don't expect Mike Green to come in and be your power play quarterback the way he was in Washington or the way he was early in Detroit. This is not going to happen. But here's a veteran presence in the locker room, somebody who can add some experience to that back end and potentially a little offensive upside, maybe help out on the power play. But that Edmonton power play is very good already. So I like what Ken Holland did at Edmonton. But it's not plan the parade time yet. As Dustin Nielsen said, it's a win for Edmonton to get into the playoffs. That's a success, to get in and compete. Now, a first-round exit at the hands of the Calgary Flames, that would be considered a failure. But by no means is the expectation now in Edmonton, you've got to get to a conference final or you have to get to a Stanley Cup final, because that's just unrealistic. The West is so tight. The Pacific Division itself is so tight. You look at the teams in the Pacific Division right now. Vegas has 76 points. Now, Edmonton's got two games in hand, and they're 3 points back at 73 points. Vegas has won six in a row. That's the RP bump. Remember, Vegas had lost back-to-back games before Rod went down and was invited by the Golden Knights. I'm starting to wonder if Gary Lawless and Kelly McCrimmon invited Rod down to get the bump. They might have needed the RP bump. They had lost two in a row. We're sitting, I believe, outside the playoffs at the time, just on the outside. But here comes Rod, and they beat St. Louis, and they beat New York, the Islanders, and they continue to win. They've rattled off six straight victories, and now all of a sudden are sitting in top place in the Pacific Division. So Vegas and the RP bump have moved up into first place. There's Edmonton. And then Vancouver is 1 point back of the Oilers with the game in hand. Edmonton is, I believe, in Anaheim tonight. Vancouver is in Montreal. So two very winnable games for the Oilers and the Canucks. Let me take a peek, find out where Vegas is tonight. They are playing. I believe they're on the ice tonight. Or are they on the ice tomorrow? Checking the schedule right now. Vegas is on the ice tomorrow when they welcome in Edmonton. That's a big game. So looking forward to that one tomorrow when Edmonton will play Vegas. But then you look beyond that into the wild card, and that's where the Flames sit. Flames are in that first wild card spot right now with 70 points, tied with Arizona. But the Flames have two games in hand on Arizona and one game in hand on Vegas at 70 points. And then Winnipeg coming in, having lost back-to-back games, coming in at 69 points, 1 point out of a playoff spot. Nashville at 68, 2 points out of the playoffs, and then Minnesota way back at 65, 5 points out. Those are the only teams that, in my mind, have a sniff of the playoffs right now in the West. So that's interesting, but Edmonton did a great job. You look at winners and losers when it comes to trade deadline day. Winners for me, the Oilers. Vegas, a big winner. Alec Martinez, a big piece in the back end. They get Robin Lehner, the goaltender. And for Lehner, I mean, he was a Vezina finalist last year, which to me brings up why I feel that Chicago is one of the losers of the trade deadline. They didn't get much, you know, in return for Gustavsson and their goaltender. Let me pull it up right now because I've got it on my phone right now. You look at what they did. They came into the deadline trying to make a move, and Vegas, I mean, they also upgraded their bottom six, adding Nick Cousins to the deal. They acquired Chandler Stephenson earlier on in the year. But when it comes to the losers of the trade deadline day, Chicago is definitely one of those teams. They traded off Eric Gustavsson and Robin Lehner. The returns were pretty underwhelming. Again, we mentioned Lehner, a Vezina Trophy finalist last year. They only got a second-round pick, Malcolm Subban, and a prospect for him. Thought maybe could have gotten a better deal for him. And again, now they got to go with Corey Crawford into the season, who's a little bit older than Robin Lehner, and he's got some worse numbers this season. So that's a tough one. And Toronto might be considered losers as well in the deal. Trying to move Tyson Barrie. I don't know if I've given up on Tyson Barrie yet in terms of the Leafs' back end, but he's set to, I believe, be an unrestricted free agent this year. And with Jake Muzzin re-signing for decent numbers, it's thought that Tyson Barrie might not be back next year. So you might lose him for nothing. If you remember, he was part of that deal that sent Nazem Kadri to the Colorado Avalanche. So Our Capital Automall Universal Collision poll question for the day is, who is the big winner of free agency, or of free agency? I've said that a few times. Trade deadline in the NHL yesterday. The Edmonton Oilers running away with it. 42.6% of the vote. The Edmonton Oilers followed by Carolina at 27.9%. The Golden Knights were third, but now they're falling out to fourth, and other at 16.4%. So other, that might include some of the teams who got some prospects and some draft picks. That includes Ottawa and San Jose, who did very, very well. If you ask Kelly Rumpel back in hour one, he really liked the job that the Ottawa Senators did on the trade deadline yesterday. Calgary, one of my losers in this whole deal. Eric Gustafson, Derek Forbert, a depth defenseman. Gustafson did have 60 points last year in the back end with Calgary. I do like him, but that's a one-off. He was falling out of favor with the fan base in Chicago, so I don't know that I like that deal that much for Calgary. They needed a little bit more help than they got. But for me, the big winner was Patrick Marleau. Patrick Marleau off to Pittsburgh. He's got another chance to win a Stanley Cup, and for that reason, I will be partially on the Pittsburgh Penguins bandwagon this spring. Wayne on the Facebook feed says, I would love to see two Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's probably just a dream, but got my fingers crossed. My question is, Wayne, who would those two teams be? It's got to be Toronto. And if it's up to me right now, I'd say Vancouver. But Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, they've all got something to say about it. So there you go. All right, we got to take a break. We're over here. I've got some comments to get to on the prompter. I want a quick comment on football. I want to get some XFL thoughts, some CFL thoughts, a small NFL thought, and I got an NHL story. I want to tell you the story about my first NHL game. It pertains to the Canucks, so and why I think the Canucks are going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll do that in overtime for Emerald Water on the other side. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause, Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Not a full cup, just a warm-up of coffee here for overtime. Just a warm-up. That's all we need right now. I've had enough. It is our overtime segment, refreshed by Emerald Water, our friends at Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show, and love those folks over there. And the water is... It's the reason our coffee is so good. It's the alkaline water, which is good for your cells and all the other great things, keeping you young, removing their, trying to prevent the acidity in our body, all these acidic drinks that we drink. Emerald water, where it's at, refreshing our overtime segment. One more thought on the Patrick Marleau thing. This is from Joe Thornton. He says, as you get older, you realize you only have so many shots at this thing, the Stanley Cup. And it would have been nice to have a chance. I wanted a shot. I've been hunting this thing down for 22 years. Yes, I would have loved to see Joe Thornton have a shot at the Cup. And you know what? I'm that guy who loves a good story. And Clark, you probably, I don't know if you're the same way, but a lot of people are. When I play the NHL video games, I always trade for Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton. Whatever team I am, I always trade for those two guys to try and get them a cup because they've been around the game for so long. They've been elite players in the game for so long. They've been good guys around the game for so long that you just want good things to happen for them. You know, when you're a good person, good things happen, right? You want good things for good people. And for Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau, those are two guys that I want good things to happen. Patrick Marleau is going to have an opportunity in Pittsburgh. I hope he wins it. And Joe Thornton, I hope he sticks around for a couple of more years and takes a run at this thing. Even if he plays for the league minimum, just to have a shot at winning a Stanley Cup. The problem is, signing in the offseason is so dang tough because you really don't know. There's so much parity in the NHL. It's so hard, you know, in the preseason to make that prediction about who's going to have a chance to contend for the Stanley Cup and who isn't. So, I don't know. Joe Thornton, I feel bad for you, but Patrick Marleau, I'm excited for the opportunity in Pittsburgh. We've got this on the prompter here. The Oilers have listed forward Kaylor Yamamoto as week-to-week with an ankle injury and have recalled forward Marcus Granlund from the Condors in Bakersfield. So here's to a speedy recovery for Yamo. That's from producer Clark putting that up on the board. So want to get to that. We had James Cebulski on, and I'm a big Vancouver Canucks fan. I'm not a big fan of the team, but they are one of my secondary teams. And it comes back to 2007. Back in April of 2007, I was on a trip out to the West Coast to visit family. We have family up in Langley and Chilliwack and in the Lower Mainland there. And riding the SkyTrain down to go do all the tourist stuff, Stanley Park and the Capilano Suspension Bridge and go to the Vancouver Aquarium and do all of those things. And you see people in Vancouver Canucks jerseys on the SkyTrain. You know, I think there might be a game tonight. So you quickly pull out your phone and you look around, you check. Sure enough, there's a game. It's the playoffs. They're playing the Dallas Stars. And it's like, maybe we'll go. So you get off the train. There's a scalper there, and he wants $225 for a ticket. I said, hell no. Not paying $225 a ticket. I'm a young broadcaster making $1,500 a month before taxes. I can't afford $225 a ticket. That's like half my paycheck. So no, not happening. So continue to go out, do all the touristy things that you do. But I said, maybe we'll stop by. Go to the tailgate, check it out on our way back. And just in case, let's take out $100 cash each. $100. We'll spend that on a ticket. That's it. So come back. The scalper is sitting there, and they got tickets. It's 15 minutes before the game. And I've never bought tickets from scalpers either. And I'm with a girlfriend at the time. And he says, tickets are $150. And I said, I only got $100 cash each. That's it. He said, nope, I can sell them. It's 10 minutes to game time. Comes back 5 minutes before the game starts and says, I got $125. I said, look it, I only have $100 cash each. We have $200. That's it. He says, no, I can still sell them. I'm like, really? He comes back right before game time, 1 minute before the game's supposed to start, and says, look it, you can have them for $110. I said, I got $200. What aren't you getting? So he says, okay, I'll take it. So we do that. And he says, look, I'll even tell you where your seats are. I'll walk you to your seats. So he's escorting us in the building. And meanwhile, the girlfriend I'm with at the time is like, he's taking us to the cops. He's taking us right to the cop car, isn't he? We're going to get in trouble for this. And he turns around. He overheard her. He's like, look, no. It's not illegal. It's only illegal for the guy selling the tickets if there was any trouble to be had. So takes us in there. We have our tickets. We're up in the second level. There's a towel, rally towel, white We Are All Canucks on the seat. That was really cool. We get in just in time for the national anthem. And then we get treated to a game that goes almost completely through four overtimes. I think it was about less than 2 minutes to go, and Henrik Sedin scored with like a minute and a half left in the fourth overtime to give the Canucks the win. It was in the end we were in that they scored. Roberto Luongo was in that game. He stopped over 70 shots, and it was awesome. And then being with the Vancouver Canucks fans on the SkyTrain going back, it's like the middle of the night after four overtimes. You get swept up in all of it, and ever since that day, I've had a soft spot in my heart for the Vancouver Canucks. So can you blame me? That was my first NHL game ever, 2007, the Canucks and the Dallas Stars. And if you remember, Marty Turco was the goalie of the Dallas Stars at the time, and all the Vancouver Canucks fans had the Turco chants going all game long. And then they got smart later on in the game, and it was Turco, you suck. It was great. It was awesome. And I know Rod's a Dallas guy, and his dad spent all those years with the Dallas Stars, but that was a great moment for me. And so why? I've got a little bit of affection for the Vancouver Canucks, if you must know. And the Canucks are in Montreal tonight, rounding out the NHL scoreboard in a sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Wendell Clark's and the Tap. Calgary's in Boston tonight, looking to climb back into the Pacific Division battle. They're right now sitting in the first wildcard spot. Vancouver in Montreal. Toronto is in Tampa Bay. Can they respond from that embarrassing performance against Carolina? The Rangers are on Long Island in the battle in New York. San Jose and Philadelphia. The Winnipeg Jets are on the road trying to snap a two-game losing streak. They're in Washington to face Alexander Ovechkin, who's looking for goal 701. Carolina will welcome David Ayres to the building. That'll be nuts when they host Dallas. Detroit welcomes New Jersey. St. Louis, home to Chicago. Ottawa is in Nashville tonight. Columbus in Minnesota. Florida's in Arizona. The Edmonton Oilers, they're on the road in Anaheim tonight on a pretty busy Tuesday in the National Hockey League. Your sports update is for Wendell Clark's Classic Grill and Bar in Saskatoon, but also for Ballers Rec Room in Regina and the Tap Beer and Liquor Store in Regina. So thank you for that. Prairie Mobile text line, thoughts are still open. Prairie Mobile text line is 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. A lot of thoughts in the text line, but the prevailing one is this: Edmonton winning the trade deadline day in the National Hockey League. And that was the final results of our poll question for Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision Center. Who won NHL trade deadline day? The Edmonton Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Carolina Hurricanes, or other? And it's a runaway for Edmonton. 41.9% of the vote says the Oilers won the trade deadline. The Hurricanes second, 27.4% of the vote coming up in second. They made some good moves. And then it's the Golden Knights and other kind of vying it out for that third spot, really, really close and tight right now. So you still have 22 hours to vote over on Twitter. And I believe you can still get your vote in on the Facebook feed. Clark had the rant stamp up. What was that for? The Oilers, I believe. My only thought with the Oilers is this. I know you're excited. I agree with you that you won the trade deadline day. I very much believe Ken Holland did what he needed to do to improve the Oilers to make sure they can get into the playoffs and potentially make a run, added some really nice pieces, and did it at a low cost. All I'm saying is be careful not to get too romantic and think about Andreas Athanasiou as a 30-goal scorer and Tyler Ennis as a 20-goal scorer and Mike Green as the elite offensive defenseman that he once was, because it's not the case. The thing about Athanasiou is he is a very young player, he's very fast, and he has some offensive upside. So I like the moves, but just be careful about overblowing it and being too romantic. That's all. That's all I'm doing, saying be cautious. But the rants are for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, Rod's Rant, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. Any more business I didn't take care of today, Clark? We can do tomorrow on the show. Duke returns. Andy McNamara is in on the NLL and the NFL because the Rush are playing this weekend. And we want a Chris Jones update on what's going on in Cleveland. So we'll talk to Andy McNamara on that. Nick Lewis will be in the bunker to join us. And we got a great CFL show. McLeod Bethel Thompson of the Argos will join us. And Arash Madani from spring training in Dunedin, Florida. That's the Blue Jays home for spring training. We'll talk to Arash about that. And I wanted to get Craig Smith's comment in here. I apologize for jumping all over the place, but I made the comment earlier on the small little bit of football we talked about today. We talked about the XFL, and I had had this out as a bit of a narrative early when it comes to the XFL. It's a topic I'm going to leave you with and tease into tomorrow, and we'll get into it tomorrow. But I asked the question if the XFL is a threat. I said the XFL has to at least be considered a threat right now because of the big names that are gone from the CFL to the XFL. That's Derek Dennis, SJ Green, Armani Edwards. Thad Coleman's name's been linked there as well. Craig Smith, our director of scouting, says, don't worry about the CFL with the XFL existing. When I started, we had three leagues competing against us, XFL, NFL Europe, and the Arena League, who were playing, paying their players well. We still got good players like Baron Simpson and Casey Printers. So that's a good thought. The CFL, I'm not worried about the CFL folding or being overtaken by these leagues. Craig is going to be here in the bunker on Thursday, so I'm excited to pick his brain further about this. But Keon Raymond came on this program and he talked about the XFL, and he said the CFL has just assumed that these leagues are going to fail and go away. Well, eventually one of them is going to get it right. The CFL just needs to be in a healthy spot to be able to compete, and I think the CFL is a great league. I think the Canadian game is a great game, and I think it will be able to compete. But we just have to always be aware. Don't ignore the competition, and don't just assume that they're going to suck, because the unassuming guy in the room is the guy that's the most dangerous. The unassuming guy who's quiet and evaluating and just checking things out. The guy that you think is nothing is often the most dangerous. That's all. We'll talk XFL. We'll talk football on the program tomorrow. Until then, big thanks to Kelly Rempel for joining me in hour one. Rich Sutter, our NHL insider, was in Lethbridge for joining us to talk about the Flames. Dustin Nielsen in Edmonton. That was a great chat. And James Cebulski from Sportsnet Radio in Vancouver. A great chat. Full hockey show. Catch the podcast at rodpeterson.com and wherever you catch your podcasts. And we will talk to you tomorrow on The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.